You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
11 o'clock hour here on a Monday in Kansas City. It's Victory Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. All of us back in Las Vegas. The Chiefs 7-0. Another successful trip in Vegas. We'll talk more about that. It was a successful trip.
I think so. Honestly, for a variety of reasons. I'm looking forward to talking about the trip because I had fun.
So did I.
You had fun?
I had a great trip.
Some incredible, unforgettable moments, you know?
I, along with the text line, have a couple of questions regarding the trip.
We'll get to them. Wait, I understand why the text line has questions. Why you have questions, we'll get to them.
Well, they just want to know if we won money. And is that all they're asking?
Yeah, I don't think so. My sports betting went great.
Yesterday was yesterday was good.
Sports betting weekend for me.
Yesterday was good. It could have been better if the Texans would have covered.
Did you guys hit the tables, or was it just like sports betting?
I did not play a single game. I only did sports betting.
For the most part, it's just sports betting on this trip the way it worked out. I will say, Drew, we did spend, and we can get to how this maybe plays later, spend some good time with your the people who came and cut your hair, Ryan and Randy.
Oh, good.
They
nice.
Were in Las Vegas, went up to the Legacy Club, which is like the rooftop bar.
Nice.
Had a great time. So there's more to that, but like, you know, they're very nice people.
Yeah. I was wondering where you were headed with that. I was like, I didn't see any Cincinnati fans the entire trip. There was every other fan base I saw. They're all in hiding. They're in hiding, I think, is what's happened at this
weakest
point.
Weakest resume in the
except
entire
for you,
loud,
man. Except
loud
for
and
you.
Proud, baby.
Still
loud
wearing
and
your
proud.
Bright orange. I'll give you semi credit for that,
proud.
You know?
He's not afraid to support his team even when they stink. And at this point, if you're a Bengals fan,
and boy, do they.
Root for them to be bad so you can get a better draft pick. The worst thing is no, they
I think they believe that if they get in, they still have a shot.
If they lose to the Raiders, I think they could go through with the trade.
Look,
everybody get rid of all of them. If they lose this weekend,
can't trade Higgins anymore. He's hurt, right? So
they will probably beat
the
Raiders.
Got the quad issue.
They will probably beat the Raiders. They have, and I said this last week before Philly, and it stands. They have the weakest resume in the entire league. You'd see 3-5, and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
They could still turn it around.
The weakest 3-5 resume.
Yes.
You mean?
No, okay. I mean in the league. Their only wins are against the Panthers, Giants, and Browns when Deshaun was still starting. Like, yeah, I mean,
not good for them. Not good for them. All right, let's talk about something that was good, though, yesterday, other than just the win. How about within that? That was Travis Kelce's performance. He always plays well against the Raiders. How about 12 targets? 10 catches, 90 yards, had his first touchdown of the season. It took a little while to get there, but that was vintage 15 and 87 connecting throughout the game. And I don't think it's a coincidence that what you said earlier in the first hour, you thought that was Mahomes' best performance of the year, even with the pick. I don't think it's a coincidence that that comes in a game in which Travis Kelce puts together his best performance of the entire season. And it all started on that first drive. I mean, the place absolutely erupted on that first catch for Travis Kelce down the field. That's when you could visually see it. That's when you knew, oh man, this is a different environment than what we've seen even on the road in some other ones.
I have knocked his yards down because I would say it's more like 8 for 90. Two of those were essentially for negative yardage or nothing on the shovel pass near the end zone and the very first play of the game where he didn't really get much going. But 10 for 90 and a touchdown. Travis is back. Over his last four games, he is averaging 66 yards a game. Guess what that is? Pretty much his career average, man. 70 yards a game is what he averages in his career. And that includes a 17-yard performance in one of those four games, which means in the other three, he's actually averaging like 85 or 90 yards a game. He's back. Travis is back. For as much as we talked about his slow start, 3 weeks into the season, I looked this up. 3 weeks into the season, he was on pace for 260 yards this year. We never thought he was going to finish that low. He is now on pace for 813,
just like
up from 692 a week ago, which means he'll be back at 1,000 in no time.
I mean,
2 weeks from now, he'll be pacing at 986.
Maybe. I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins' addition is certainly going to help him in a huge way. But what you just said, you can easily spin the other way. You just told me how quickly it jumped to 8. He could have 30 yards next week, and it's right back down to 700 and something. I hear you, though. I think I lean in your direction only because DeAndre Hopkins will likely open things up. I don't suddenly think, though, he's having a 1,000-yard season. Just because one game he gets 90, I don't think he's back to being a 1,000-yard receiver just like that.
If next
week he has 20 yards, he's right back to pacing for 780. So, no, I think you need to see more consistency out of it. But that was vintage stuff. 15, 87, seen it 100 times. That was the good stuff, man. That was the good stuff yesterday.
He was even so open on one play, as correctly, I think, pointed out by the broadcast. The one not before the pitch. There was the one he got for like 20 yards. It was like right 15 yards right in the middle of the field. He stopped like he was ready to get hit. Cool. He went like this, like almost like, okay, I've been hit on this play. And then he turned around and was like, oh. And he ran like 5 or 6 more yards. Like, well, that was weirdly easy. Like he almost wasn't used to it. Between that and him getting what I think, we disagree. So I guess I'm curious.
Okay.
913-586-7965. What I thought was a designed hook and ladder to Samaje Perine. I feel like after weeks of Travis Kelce just taking it on his own initiative to do it, I kind of thought that was a designed, like on the TV, it kind of looked like Samaje was trailing him a little too close for it not to be a hook and ladder, especially for a running back.
I saw the reaction like on social media for people that were watching at home, because I guess it sounds like, you tell me that Trent Green maybe mentioned that he thought it was designed in the press box. Nate Taylor, who will join us tomorrow on the show, we were sitting next to each other, and I asked him, I was like, do you think that's designed? We're like, it could have been, but we both felt like it wasn't, because maybe Perine didn't look like he was ready for it. Should have been more ready. But if you wanted to get a quick play out of bounds to stop the clock, the argument we made, that's why you do it. So, and to my knowledge, at least in the portion I was there, I didn't hear Andy asked about that. It wasn't something that was like, this such a key play that, oh my gosh, you got to find out what the...
Turned out there was some other big key moments after that.
Now, if it was a fumble and the Raiders took over, it would have ended up being, I think, a much bigger story about, hey, was it designed or not? I'll lean that it wasn't. It didn't really matter.
Travis will probably address it on Wednesday on
New Lights. Yeah, that's true. I think if you watched at home, you probably think for sure it was designed, because the Trent Green sure made it seem like that. But being there, at least with Nate and some others, most people were skeptical.
So the broadcast, Trent Green definitely made it seem like it was. Yeah.
They've designed stuff before, so it's Andy Reid.
It was the way he trailed him. Travis Kelce's now done this pitch like 4 times. They're usually further away from him than that. He starts running, and then he's like, where can I throw this ball? What's going on? Let's see if I can get this ball somewhere. This one, he caught it, and the ball was coming out of his hands as soon as he made the catch. Like, he was ready to get rid of it. I think it was just like a transition thing.
They rule it technically a fumble for Kelce. It goes down as a fumble for him. Not lost, of course, but sure. It's still a fumble.
No, it ended up as a first down.
Yeah.
That was the funniest part, is the way they pursued the football ended up making it easier for Samaje Perine to get the first down. If you watch on TV, they over-pursued, essentially, because they're trying to get the ball, which makes sense. And then because of that, the edge was opened up for him to get the first down. It helped him, the fumble, in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It actually helped him. But also, it was like, that was the first game, I feel like, in 2 years. And I'm probably wrong here. I'm just being hyperbolic a little, but where it felt like almost all the mistakes the Chiefs went their way. Ball gets fumbled, Perine picks it up. Ball goes through Xavier Worthy's hands, Noah Gray catches it. Like, typically, it feels like over the last 2 seasons, last season and this year, anytime like one little thing goes wrong in the play, it's over. That's it. We have problems now. Ball goes the wrong way, kicks the wrong way, goes into the wrong hand, whatever. Postseason probably being the exception to that.
Yeah, you know,
but in the regular season, it's gone that way a lot.
Now we're in Kansas City, so everybody probably is way more agreeable. I'm sure if anybody heard what you just said outside of Kansas City, they'd be like, "Have you? Excuse me?" They'd be like,
"I watch this team more than you."
They would be like,
"Outside people."
Yeah, they would be like, "They get every single break." What do you? You know, that would be the reaction. I'm sure. I get what you're saying. There was a season ago even 2 years ago, where there was batted passes that would always result or whatever. I get what you're saying. They definitely had breaks go their way yesterday. But man, when you come up with the goal line stand that they came up with defensively after that interception, I don't care what breaks you got. That is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Fourth and goal stand, negative 5 yards after the Raiders had the ball at your 5-yard line. That's as good as it gets.
No, I think so. It was just good to see old Travis. And again, this is 3 out of the last 4 games it's been old Travis. So now he's on more of a consistent streak of looking like himself than not looking like himself.
Looking like old Travis, but not old Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Travis of old. Mm-hmm. How about that?
There you go.
Is that a better way of putting it?
Hey. Vintage.
It now, vintage Travis. Mm-hmm. That makes it, vintage has a nicer connotation to it, you know? Like a wine, a nice wine.
People like vintage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or vintage t-shirts. Mm-hmm. You don't seem like a vintage clothes. You don't seem like you'd wear a piece of clothing somebody else owned before you.
Usually no.
Do you own anything that somebody owned before you?
Do I own something?
I don't think you own a single piece of vintage clothing other than your own vintage, as in like a shirt you got in college.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think I do.
It's fine. Yeah. I just, you know, it was an observation. That's all. Seems like the way we said vintage, it was like, do you own? Maybe like, what about a hat? You don't wear hats.
I don't wear hats, Cody. What about you, Drew?
I would say there's some things, yes, but I'm more of the, I guess, not new vintage, but there's clothing that's made now that's got like the vintage look.
You know, I have some of those. I have some of that.
That is quote unquote vintage.
Like I have actual used clothing, as in like,
yeah, I don't know who it was owned by before.
I
have some, but not very much.
Text line 913-586-7965.
He owns a 50-year-old vineyard vine. He's holding on to any vineyard vine he's owned in his life and still fits, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right.
If it's still in good shape, why get rid of it?
That's right. I don't even know how long they've been around. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Other than the Chiefs, who now are undefeated, remain the only undefeated team. Every other team in the league still has two losses. Same thing that applied last week. The single biggest story other than that was the end of the Washington Commanders-Chicago Bears game. Because the Bears blew it 1 yard out from the end zone when they tried to hand the ball off to a lineman, got the ball back, scored a touchdown, completed the comeback, only to give up a Hail Mary to Jaden Daniels, in which the funniest possible thing could have happened where a defender was too busy taunting
we'll get to that part. The
opponent to do this. But how do you let this happen to yourself, Chicago?
This was how it sounded on Commanders radio.
Three, Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
awesome is that? Commanders radio, happy for them. They've dealt with a crappy franchise for a long time with a crappy owner. Now they have new ownership. They got their quarterback of the future. He's a legit MVP candidate. He was running, I don't know, 25 yards back there, buying time to throw up the Hail Mary. The actual catch wasn't that impressive. It got
just tipped back, standing by himself.
I don't know if that was by design or whatever. He's waiting back behind the grouping. Maybe it is kind of by design.
Probably.
And he's waiting there just in case the ball gets batted back, and it does. They're now 6-2, but the story within that, you're right, is the Bears defender, Tyreek Stevenson, a name that I've never would have said before. He, before the play, there's video, he's taunting Commanders fans, and during the play, continues through the play, then he realizes, oh wait, they're actually, like, the play is going, I should probably run over there. He runs towards the grouping of receivers. He's the defender that bats the ball in the air that leads to the Commanders receiver catching the game-winning touchdown.
Well, and one of the players in postgame said, well, someone's supposed to be on him. I can't tell you who, but I can tell you who. The guy who was jawing on the sideline to all the Commanders fans.
He also allowed four catches for 90 yards on 9 targets as the nearest defender. So he just had a terrible day. I don't know any other backstory with this guy. But what an embarrassment. I mean, that's going to be, I don't know what his, track record is in the organization. If he was a practice squad guy, if he was a high pick or not, I've never heard of the kid before. But that is a cuttable offense depending on, you know, what draft equity and stuff you have. 56th overall pick a year ago. They're not going to cut him. But otherwise, he would be a legit candidate, I would think, to you'd have to cut. But they're not going to. He was a second round pick a year ago.
I would call in sick with the flu on film day.
Oh, that's today. And tomorrow?
Dude, no.
You're calling in sick the next 2 days, huh?
No way. Because I'll just tell you right now, the coach that's going to rewind you on the All 22 film, jawing with people as the play is beginning, completely out of position, out of your spot. Look, Hail Marys are always fun, and sometimes they're going to get completed. Those things happen sometimes in the NFL. But the Bears, their division is so good. They've had the best start to their season they've had in a while. Felt like they were going to escape a good win against the Commanders with only 2 losses. equaling that of the other teams in their division.
The Commanders outplayed them all game long. I mean, the Bears were about to steal that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Caleb Williams had a terrible game. And yet, they were going to find a way to eke out some win against a really good Commanders team. And instead, they let a Hail Mary get them.
That was an awesome play.
That's why they're a cursed franchise, man. Awesome. Cursed.
And Commanders 6-2. I mean, that story of the NFL, Dan Quinn, legit coach of the year. Candidate, to say the least. I think he might be the favorite. I haven't looked at updated odds today.
After
Kevin O'Connell's lost a couple here, even though I think O'Connell's great too, but you lose two in a row and Dan Quinn's pulling off wins like that. He's 6-2 in the NFC East. Yeah, Dan Quinn probably is the favorite. I'll let you look that up if you want. But
I couldn't bring myself to do it. But like, so our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, will join us again tomorrow. He does on Tuesdays at 10:30. You know his backup, and our backup NFL insider is Michael Massey. I couldn't do it. Be like, hey, you want to just do like one question?
Oh, that'd have been cruel.
No, I can't. I wouldn't do that to him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why even?
You have to answer for him.
The fact that thought crossed your mind is sickening, you know?
Sickening. Now I'm Chiefs fans who booed Matt Castle.
Sickening and disgusting, honestly.
I said I wouldn't do that to him. As of right now, Kevin O'Connell is still, in most books, the favorite to win Coach of the Year.
Someone says, do we have the Bears audio? Oh, yes, we do. Here you go.
To the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches, deep pass, into the area of the end zone.
He caught it!
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man. And this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish.
That poor guy in the back, he's like, ball's up. He's like, oh, he caught it. He's like, yeah, no, man, I caught it.
The analyst was excited for a split second. I was like, oh.
Because he's like, oh, that's kind of crazy. And then he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. It's not good for the team.
He was waiting for the tip, and it worked. And he ends up getting the game-winning touchdown, and Commanders are something else right now in the NFL. Jaden Daniels is, I think we've already seen enough weeks and weeks ago, but he's more than just the real deal. Like, he has a chance to be one of the really, really special quarterbacks in this league.
We talk about this all the time. He was in that matchup between, you know, the number one and number two. He was the way better quarterback in that matchup. And Caleb Williams is on kind of a good stretch. He was playing some really good football leading up to that game. They also, I think Pro Football Focus said Caleb Williams got pressured on 52% of the dropbacks yesterday. Wow. So some of that might not totally be on Caleb Williams. And sucks for him is, like, he could have just erased the bad day by doing what he did. Get his team down the field, get the lead, get out of there with a win, even though you don't feel good about your performance. And instead, mess.
Reminder coming up at noon today, 40 minutes away. You'll hear from Andy Reid right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. The only place you can hear from Andy Reid on a Monday is during Cody and Gold. Yeah, that was just one of the wilder finishes. It was a great red zone witching hour right before the Chiefs game. I had that pull up on my laptop as I was just sitting there. That was some of the finishes. We'll get to the Ravens a little bit later on. Their loss to Cleveland. Obviously, Philadelphia and Cincy didn't end up being a good ending, but it was close for a while. In that particular contest. And yeah, everything yesterday results wise was perfect. Other than the only thing that would have made it perfect, I guess, would have been the Texans losing the Colts. Other than that, everything else happened the way you wanted it to.
Pretty close. And they almost lost that one. That was close too.
Trash of the day.
One thing that was not perfect prior to yesterday's game there in Vegas, let me tell you, was the national anthem.
Okay, so we don't see that on TV. So not good.
Oh, no. So, you know, the national anthem is happening and everybody's standing up in the press box and all you're listening. But, you know, you've gone through some of the anthems before. And so, like, you're just, you know, at that point, you're just
kind of hanging out. Waiting.
Yeah. And everybody turns, like, Nate Taylor and I look at each other like, basically, did I just hear what? And he stopped singing and then he picked it back up and skipped some words, some lyrics in the national anthem. So the national anthem was by a gentleman named Mickey Thomas. And I'll be honest, given my age, not familiar with his work. Now I am. I didn't realize there's some songs I am from his band.
Yeah, we
had
to look
band.
It up. Jefferson Starship was the band. He was
from the 70s, I believe.
Singer. Yeah, 80s, something like 70s, 80s.
Some songs we've all heard before. I just didn't know.
I just didn't know Mickey Thomas.
I didn't know it was Mickey Thomas. He had a rough day yesterday. This was before the game, during the anthem.
Oh,
goodness.
You can hear the crowd live reacting to it.
And then the crowd sang the rest of the way with him.
Yeah, make sure you knew the words.
Yeah. I mean,
that.
Banner, yeah.
I don't know. That part kills me.
The crowd
at the end, by the way, kudos to them at the Golden Knights game. We went on Friday night or Friday in the afternoon. That's what they do there. You know, we have home of the Chiefs, and they say straight into the Knights.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a great, it's a fun way to go about it.
Thinking of home of the Chiefs, much like you guys could just tell after big plays, like, home of the Chiefs was extremely loud, echoing throughout Allegiant Stadium yesterday.
That piece of audio is one of my favorite ever. Listen to this one more time. I mean, he forgets the words and he just starts hitting the biggest note. And you can hear the crowd. Banner.
He kind of had a little smile. So when that happened, he kind of had a little smile and smirk on his face. Like he knew he screwed up. He completely forgot.
I mean, that one's bad. It's like the only thing you can't forget the words to. Write it on your hand. Put it on a piece of paper before you forget the word. If you're going to sing the national anthem.
Complete brain fart, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
so, and then you're like, say Banner. And everyone, you can feel it. Say Banner. Who says Banner?
Yeah, it got very awkward.
Glenn! You're like, oh, it was too aggressive.
In person, it's the worst anthem I've heard ever because of that mess up. Like, there's other people that have had worse voices than him, but when you, it doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, you just pause in the middle of the, and you decide to pick it back up a little later.
The crowd reaction.
Just wherever you feel like
all
it.
The murmurs in the crowd of, you could hear that.
Do you think we're going to get a statement from him? You know, we learned last time we brought up an anthem.
Yeah,
everybody,
we had to, like,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Going to
I think this gentleman.
You said he had a smirk on his face. I feel like he.
I knew right away. He's like, oh shoot.
I think he just forgot the words, and he's like, all right, well then, just let's get to the big part. Rockets red glare. Gotta hit that part, otherwise we can't get to the end of the song. So,
I mean, that is definitely the worst one I've ever witnessed in person.
That was so good. It gets me every time.
Does this give you more confidence, Cody, for you to sing it one day? Or less confidence, actually?
Honest to God, it feels like I'm worried. Because if you miss one word, then you're just infamy. Infamy.
You can have a bad voice and you'll get made fun of as well.
Yeah.
But you gotta nail the words. You gotta nail the words at least. And the sing,
at least, like, don't mess up on any of the words anybody would notice.
That was an obvious spot, but people will notice. National anthem, if you flip some words around, people are going to notice. That is the trash of the day. Up next, though, let's talk a bit more about how Andy Reid handled one certain player yesterday. We're also expected to hear from Andy Reid coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk more about the defense as well. We'll also take your texts and phone calls, 913-586-7965, right here on a Victory Monday.
Welcome in to the
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Again, coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to hear from Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan. Find out some more thoughts after yesterday's performance. The team flew back, of course, after the game last night. And as you said, they get a little extra time to get ready for the Bucs one more day. Doesn't hurt. The Bucs, we'll talk plenty later in the week about them, even post Evans' hamstring injury and obviously Godwin.
Still moving the ball.
They actually got to be somewhat impressed with what they looked like in that game, even if it wasn't a losing effort to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday.
Before we get to Xavier Worthy, back into how the Chiefs won, should we talk a little Vegas? Drew, you said you had questions. I feel like the text lines had some questions today. Let me lay out my weekend. Because people ask two questions.
You were there with your wife. I barely saw you. I don't know what you guys
were
doing.
Busy.
Cody was ordering dessert at 2 a.m. back to the room. It was some weird stuff going on.
That's not weird. That's normal.
Really? Mm-hmm. 2 a.m.
Also took way too long to get that dessert. It took far too long to get to the room. Mm-hmm. It's like an hour. Mm-hmm. I'd given up on it by then. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want that dessert at that point.
Uh-huh.
You know? Two things, right? Alex and I think Friday night was probably the most fun on the trip. Everyone, we had a good time at the party. We went to the Knights game before. Just a good day, right? Did the show.
Yeah, thanks to our listeners that came out.
Yeah, went to the Knights game. Great time at the Overhang Bar at Circa, obviously. And then, I think I went up to Legacy Club that night, which is like the rooftop bar I told you.
Oh, did you?
And then eventually went, back to my room at a, I don't know, late-ish hour, but for Vegas, maybe not that late.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were at the bar at Overhang, Alex's tour guide friend came.
I was working. I was making announcements and everything.
You took over the microphone.
The bartender, I didn't think I had to say anything either. The bartender said, "You work at the radio station, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Here, you take the mic. Why don't you make the announcement?" Because the bartender was actually doing a really good
job.
So I made one announcement at the bar, and that was it. I don't know, it was like 20 seconds, and that was it.
Yeah. I would say it was the first hour we were hanging out with different listeners, me, Alex, a few other people. She showed up to support Alex, knew he was going to be at Overhang, showed up.
I'm stunned she showed up. I honestly had no clue.
They had a long chat at the bar top. What were you guys talking about?
So let's peel back the curtain some more. I told you guys she was the tour guide from the Grand Canyon thing.
Yeah.
Back in March. Hadn't talked to her since. She's the one that added me on Instagram.
Correct.
She saw on Instagram that we were coming to Vegas a week ago.
She reached out to you saying,
She said, are you going
to
be in Vegas? And I was nice, obviously, and responded back. I said, yeah, we'll be in Vegas. And that was kind of it. She continued to see our social media posts, I believe. And I don't know, it was probably 45 minutes or an hour into the happy hour. And all of a sudden she shows up. Yeah.
And you guys chatted for a while? I got one.
Well, I'm a nice guy. Well, I'm supposed to be in. She drove all the way up. I'm supposed to just ignore her? I'm supposed to not talk?
No.
Of course we talked.
I thought you guys talked for a while. The most interesting part of my trip was I got done at the Legacy Club, Drew. I just want to imagine that any scenario in which it had me arriving 10 seconds later or 10 seconds earlier doesn't end this way. It is 1:30 in the morning. I am walking to the elevator to go back to the hotel room with some friends, Randy and Rye from salon.
Yep.
The four of us are walking back from the Legacy Club, and who do we see come down the elevator? A non-guest, it turns out. The girl from the bar. The tour guide. There comes, did we say her name?
No.
Okay. We'll leave her name out of it. That's not important.
Okay, yes.
She comes down the elevator, and because everyone's been drinking and having a good time, one of the members of our party said, "Hey, where's Alex?" I mean, that's how she said it. "Where's Alex? Where'd he go? Are you guys good? Where's Alex?" And she brushed through the crowd with some quickness. She head down, full of steam. And look, the timing could have been anything.
Cody proceeds to send me a text.
I sent him one text that says, "Hey, man, y'all good?"
What was my response?
You said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And then I said, "Hey, I happened to run into her in the elevator." Just as I was trying to announce.
I think
no.
I responded back with some
facepalm emoji.
Laughing and facepalm emoji. I did, by the way, my other friends, really nice. my buddies can attest to this. That was like, I think it was like at 1 a.m. You went to the party ended, I think from 11 to 1, there's a question of the timeline on where everybody was at. I'll just leave it at that. And then at 1, I went back out. I went back out to Fremont nice. Street and hung out with my friends.
Okay, yep. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. We hung out for a little bit more and just had like a cocktail in the room or whatever. I mean, but we didn't like go back out to Fremont. We didn't.
Gotcha.
We didn't.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I guess that being said, was there any, did your night result in some pleasure?
Oh, gosh.
Don't say
why do you phrasing it like that? Why are you phrasing it?
You don't have to phrase it like that.
Yeah.
I only got, you know, I
think anybody listening can connect the dots.
I did take one photo of the two of you because I was like, oh, you know what? Alex is flirting. We can at least talk about this on the show. And it's just this one photo.
Oh, my. You gave a thumbs up and I'm in the background talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a nice photo of the two of you.
Thank you.
You know, I was happy for you. Mm-hmm. She was very nice. Talked to us for a while. Very nice girl.
She was very nice. She was very nice. It was nice of her to come to the happy hour.
It was.
It's nice for her to stop by.
I couldn't believe that. I just like the timing of the elevator trip.
Impeccable.
The fact that
almost meant
when
to be.
You sent the text, I'll be honest.
Almost meant to be.
I had not yet left my room to go back out, and I got your text, and like legit out loud, I was like, oh, that you happen to run into.
Unbelievable.
Like, yes.
Because otherwise, I could have just come in today and asked questions.
You would have never.
And you could have been like, yeah, you know, who knows, and whatever.
Yep.
It with some, and like, of course, was like, where's Alex? You're like, she doesn't need this right now. Okay, she doesn't need this right now. This is that, like, because that's just like, there's no way for you to expect to know somebody coming off of the elevator immediately in that scenario.
Not even kidding, though. My buddies were texting me asking where I was at, and Cody, it was, I had to be like, I have to go back out and meet with them. She wouldn't leave the room.
Well, then that probably made our elevator interaction worse.
She wouldn't leave the room.
That ain't great.
Yeah, I have to go back out with my friends. It's 1 a.m. It's Vegas. Let's go. I didn't say it like that, but that was it took a while. The room.
I just like, that was part of the reason, like, I had to get. It's not me. I had to get my pants back from one of the people we were with. They had to borrow him to go up to the lake.
Hold on, you had to get your pants back? Cody won't even go to pay. You wouldn't even honor your strip club bed. And we're out here talking about we're talking about specific timeline of my events Friday night. And you won't even pay off your strip club bet. Oh, man. So and text line says, is what happens in Vegas is stays in Vegas.
On this show.
Not on Kansas City radio, apparently. Not when you were a radio show in KC.
The first question was going to be regarding
Mr.
Gold.
I can't believe you re-asked the awkward question, though, that you asked on Friday's show.
There's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure. I didn't say it, though. I played it back.
Why did you put it that way? That still makes us uncomfortable.
That was my first question. And then the next one would be, well, did you actually go, Cody? Did you actually go to the strip club?
No.
It doesn't sound like you did. Great.
No. Our best chance was probably when we first arrived, and we joked about on Thursday, which was the limo driver's like, I used to run those kind of clubs, you know, or whatever. That was really the opportunity.
Yeah.
That was Vegas. We can talk some cheese for a minute.
Oh, my
goodness. Let's distract ourselves for just a minute on this. I actually thought one really nice thing happened at the game that Andy Reid is better than any coach in the NFL at accomplishing. That is making a player who had a bad game feel good about it. Yeah. Or have a bad season feel good about it. Xavier Worthy did not have a good game. A lot of mistakes. Drops, blunders. Seems like just miscommunications. I thought he just looked like a rookie. No big deal. Those games happen for rookies and are expected to. But to get him the touchdown at the end of the game is where Andy Reid is better than most coaches, because even though there were catch problems, way too many targets for a player that wasn't consistent, Andy Reid let him leave with a smile on his face. Fifth touchdown on the season, too, by the way. This is something I always gave Mecole Hardman credit for and will keep you in the league longer. Xavier Worthy at least got a nose for the end zone. Five touchdowns is more than Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore might have combined in their Chiefs career. He gets to the end zone.
He does, and I think we're all excited about long-term implications for Worthy, and we know the week before he nearly connected with Mahomes on a long touchdown pass. But that touchdown he had, Cody, he's running the same type of routes we saw Mecole Hardman do in those instances. On a lot of these touchdowns, A lot of the touchdowns have been like, hey, we don't the touch pass, the sweep, or in this case, I don't know that every play, we don't all learn the name about every single play, but that was just a well-designed play that got Worthy open. It's the same type of play we would have seen in the past that would have got Mecole Hardman open. So I'm not like that. That touchdown in its own right wasn't uber impressive from Worthy, but you're correct. They went back to Worthy at 7 targets or 8 targets in the game, had a couple drops. When you look at him differentiating himself from what they've had, that's the speed guys, gadget guys. To me, he's going to differentiate himself in that as the season continues to go. If they hit on another deep pass, they hit on the one deep pass early on in the season. But that touchdown yesterday wasn't anything different than we've seen than with other guys in the past speed-wise.
Yeah, I just think that that's where he can, you know, and that works, right? Like you said, if you're a bad player and you don't have speed, well, then you can't really hide your flaws. If you're a fast player, you can. And I didn't think he was... Look, he had 4 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. Most of the time out of a rookie wide receiver, Gold, I'll take that. He just had an opportunity to do some even bigger things in that game, and it seemed like they were doing what they did with Rashee Rice at some point when the receiver numbers were down, which were, hey, let's see how much we can get out of this player. How much can we get out of Rashee Rice is what they were trying to sort. And the answer was, don't push it, right? Not saying he's not a good player or can't get some yards for you, but there's a limit for how far you want to take this in year one. But like you said, is he getting 7 targets every game once D-Hop's up and running? Probably not. That seems pretty unlikely. Right now, he's on pace for 685 all-purpose yards between rushing and receiving. Like, I mean, that is a borderline great rookie season.
It is.
And
now, there's context.
Touchdowns.
Context matters, though. You know, if I would have told you he's doing that when there's no Brown or Rice to get targets either.
Sure.
I mean, there's not... He got 7 targets. He got 7 targets. There's not many other guys that you're looking to actually give the football to right now. Now, Hopkins getting in the mix more and more. I'll be curious to see what the target share is. You and I have, I think, just differed on what we want that to look like in his rookie year anyway. Like I told you, I don't think we're seeing Xavier Worthy getting 10 targets a game. You said you would like him to get 8 to 10 targets a game.
I said when the time they did, before they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins.
Fair.
Yeah, I did because I wanted them to, this was pre-trade deadline, I wanted them to find out how much they could put on Worthy. I actually thought that's what they did in this game. The answer is 2 to 3 catches, 30 to 40 yards, ideally one deep one every 3 to 4 games. And clearly he's a guy who's good at getting in the end zone because of his speed in the red zone. Yep. Like he can get around corners that other guys can't. A couple of busted coverage. He's on pace for 12 touchdowns. I'm assuming that would be a Chiefs rookie record. I don't know for sure. Maybe Kareem Hunt his rookie year or something like that. 12 touchdowns is probably up there for a receiver, even more impressive. He's done a really nice job. He just had a bad game. A bad game that ended perfectly.
Hill and Abner Haynes, 12, rookie year.
Okay. So he'd tie with Abner Haynes. I mean, it'd be pretty, I don't know if he's going to actually finish with 12.
Yeah.
But 7 games into the season, he already has 5 of them. 2 rushing, 3 receiving. And they found a good way to use him. They just tried to extend it a little bit because I think DeAndre Hopkins wasn't ready. I think that they, or he wasn't, you know, he wasn't ready to take on 8 targets for this team. Not ready to actually play in the game. He was obviously ready enough to do that. The standout thing was obviously the defense anyway. I mean, let's just face reality.
The
streak of points allowed stands on its own. And we could almost talk about that historically, maybe tomorrow or something. But the 2 plays that obviously, the plays near the goal line stand out. And we can talk about those in just a second. Underrated play defensively of that game. Trent McDuffie chasing down Gardner Minshew to force the incompletion trailing him from the backside to get the Chiefs the ball back that got them the field goal before half. The Raiders did a really bad job. This is the game management stuff. They ran the ball twice like they were almost ready to concede going into half so that they could just try to run out the clock, get the ball at half, go in down what they were down. Down 4. Okay, cool, we'll take it. Then decided to randomly pass, even though they should have just done a short pass or an easy completion, so that they could keep running more clock. Chiefs didn't have to use a timeout, gave them more time to get down the field, gave them a chance to get it to DeAndre Hopkins before that field goal. That play by Trent McDuffie was huge, too. They just make big play after big play after big play on defense. And they were down 2 corners in that game because of the injury, obviously, earlier in the last week to Jalen Watson. And then Nazi Johnson got knocked out, what, in the first quarter?
Yeah, concussion very early on in the game. And so the depth we were concerned maybe could get tested later on in the year and happened to get tested even against Gardner Minshew. That McDuffie play really was special, and you're right, that probably gets lost in the mix. But when you come out of the goal line stand like that, that's as good as it gets. Prior to the fourth down situation there on the fourth and goal and that stop, their best stop of the season was the Falcons game. That might be more magnified to some because it was in Atlanta. That was a primetime game, and that was close throughout. Whereas this Raiders game, the Chiefs still seem to be in control even after having that terrible turnover that gave the Raiders the ball there. So like, it was their best stand of the year, yes. I think like the intensity of it and all that, the Falcons won. It was the last play of the game, right? So that yeah. Nick Bolton stuff on the run felt bigger because it was the game-deciding play. That sequence was a deciding, it turned out, deciding sequence to have that for four straight plays. And I don't know, Antonio Pierce, necessarily what the thought was on some of the play-calling decisions there with Gardner Minshew. I think he really struggles as a coach to figure out the balance of when to be aggressive, when not to, when to be a little more conservative and lean on the run. But the Chiefs were able to make it a challenge for Gardner Minshew down there. Carl Loftus came up with a huge play.
I think between all the stories coming out of Arizona State for why he got like a 58-year show cause, and he's a better motivator than a coach. He's great if on the sideline being like, you're the best. I'm going to teach you. You're going to run through a wall for this guy. But then if you actually have to coach the game, which he does, not an assistant coach, no good. That's Antonio Pierce's problem. He's a great motivator. He's not a good coach.
I gave him credit in training camp. I thought, you know, he surrounded himself with a lot of, he doesn't know everything. And he brought in some guys, to consultants and otherwise. I think even Marvin Lewis, maybe Tom Coughlin was there for a practice
Marvin
or two.
Like,
you know, so that was smart. I mean, acknowledging that to your point. And yeah, I think he is probably a really good motivator. But we had Mark McMillan on the show, obviously, Cody Friday. And we asked him, like, where is the fan base at with Antonio Pierce? And the ship has sailed on Pierce, but definitely the shine is worn off, you know, and the feel good moment and story of being the interim guy, and that's all gone. Well, we're going to smoke cigars in the locker room after a big win now, and we're the Raiders. That ended pretty quick. And yesterday, the Raiders raided a couple times, and you know, the Chiefs get credit on the stop. Then Minshew in the following drive or second drive after that, whatever it was, the fumble that he had. I mean, that was classic Raiders raidering stuff right there. The Minshew fumble in particular. I think it was Mike Pinnell. Didn't Mike Pinnell force the ball out? I believe he did.
How many coaches do we have anymore that are like just more, I guess Mike Tomlin's kind of that, but like the rah-rah coach?
I'm fine with that to a certain extent. I mean, there's something to be said, like get smart coaches around you and you be able to handle who can handle the media stuff and not cause problems basically by saying something to the media, who can motivate the team. That's not a terrible thing, but boy, you've got to have bright coaches around you. And the reason why to me that just doesn't work ultimately is, as we've said, if you have the right offensive mind calling plays, that guy's going to go leave your organization and you got to go find that guy again. It's why I would never hire a defensive-minded head coach.
Is there anyone left, do you think, nationally that thinks there's a defense better than the Chiefs? Like, what's the argument for it, I guess, this year?
There's some specific stats you can point out. Like, before yesterday...
Like, technically, points per game, there are four teams better, but...
That, and then before yesterday's game, I think it changed because they only gave up, like, 40 on the ground. The Ravens were still the number one rush defense. I don't think that's the case anymore. So you're asking the question. Yeah, there's a couple areas where you could point out if you wanted to. But in crucial moments, a stand like that, what they've also done with a similar group and the same coordinator carrying over during this run, yeah, they're the best defense in football.
The only teams allowing more or less points per game right now are Chicago, Denver, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers, who have been the number one scoring defense all year.
Speaking of defense, the Chiefs just got better on defense, presumably. According to Jordan Schultz, the Chiefs are acquiring a pass rusher. Josh, is it Uche?
Yes.
From
Uche,
the New England Patriots. According to Adam Schefter,
he's young too.
Linebacker.
Wasn't he just a second-round pick?
2020 second-round pick. He goes from New England to Kansas City. So the Chiefs make a move to add to the defensive room.
He was a dog at Michigan.
I don't
really
see
good.
The compensation yet. We'll let you know if we see that come across. We don't know what they gave up. Ah, here we go. I ask in Rappaport tweets. Sixth rounder in 2026. Huh.
Are you kidding?
Next year's sixth rounder.
He has two sacks this year.
That's fine.
He had three sacks last year. He had 11 and a half 2 years ago. So yeah. I don't know what happened.
They had Leo Chanel lining up on the edge a lot.
I literally put on the rundown for tomorrow.
Uche obviously is someone that can be on the edge. Hopefully, you know, this doesn't mean anything else more than just, hey, they want to get better. I mean, Andy was asked about injuries yesterday, and nothing was mentioned about Drew Tranquil or anything like that, even though he got banged up in the game. It was more about, unfortunately, Jody Fortson and then Mahomes' ankle that got rolled up on. So the Chiefs adding some more depth, I think, is how you have to view it. Another body. Remember, they're going to get a Minshew back at some point as well.
So we asked for.
Yep.
I mean, we asked, what are they doing with the money? You and I both said corner or defensive line or another wide receiver, right? Same positions they needed before. I thought Leo Chanel, I thought maybe that was just going to be their solution. They were using him so much is essentially just like a fifth down lineman or fourth down lineman at times in the game yesterday. I kind of thought they'd go that route. Hopefully Andy's been informed, seeing how in a couple of minutes, the only press you can hear from Andy on a Monday is right here. 96.5 The Fan. They're going to say it's not done.
It's because it's not official yet. So probably won't get that. But we are going to hear from Andy Reid coming up next right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.